It's 6 o'clock. I'm Christian Hill. There's been a fall in the number of crimes recorded in Leicestershire and Rutland. The police dealt with 14% fewer crimes last year compared with 2011-2012. Nationally, the Office for National Statistics figures show crime fell by 7% last year. David Cameron has congratulated the police for doing more with less resources. But the Shadow Home Office Minister, David Hanson, is concerned.
A deeper look at these figures show, for example, a 7% to 9% rise in personal crime, theft from mobile phones, etc., a massive increase of 27% in online fraud, and there are still deeply worrying statistics underneath that show that 30,000 fewer crimes have been solved in the past year.
Meanwhile, in a separate report, the independent body which assesses police forces has criticised Leicestershire Police over a £6 million funding gap. Her Majesty's Inspectorate of Constabulary has said neighbourhood policing risks being eroded because of budget cuts. Leicestershire Police has been trying to save almost £34 million over 4 years. It's now 2 years into that spending review. Well, the Police and Crime Commissioner, Sir Clive Loder, has told BBC Radio Leicester the force has worked well with its resources.
The force does deserve great credit through various things, the efficiencies it put in place, for example, the changes to the shift patterns and patrolling patterns and so on. Actually, they have kept crime coming down.
A Leicestershire couple who died when their light aircraft crashed into a field on Sunday have been identified. 76-year-old Robert Moulton and his wife, 84-year-old Lillian Olive Moulton from Ashby de la Zouche, were both confirmed dead at the scene of the crash near Fenny Drayton. An inquest into their deaths was opened and adjourned yesterday. It's believed the plane took off from an airstrip near Twycross Zoo and was heading to Stoke Golding Airfield. In other news, a 28-year-old man has been found guilty of a triple murder for starting a fire which killed his teenage girlfriend, their six-month-old daughter, and the baby's maternal grandmother. Carl Mills burned down the house of Kayleigh Mills in Cwmbran in South Wales last September. The judge at Newport Crown Court told him he would serve a minimum of 30 years in jail, with no guarantee he would ever be released. Well, Detective Superintendent Peter Jones, who led the investigation, has welcomed the verdict.
It's difficult to put into words to describe Carl Mills. In setting that fire, he knew what he was doing. It was clear from the evidence he knew what he was doing, and from witness evidence, smirked as a result of what he did.
Next tonight, there have been four bids from Leicestershire venues wishing to host international teams when the Rugby World Cup comes to England in 2015. Leicester City's King Power Stadium will be staging three pool games during the tournament, including two games involving Argentina. Well, Debbie Jevons is the chief executive of England Rugby 2015. She says there'll be celebrations and events in the city, as well as the games themselves.
It's going to be more than just the 6 weeks of the tournament. We have the lead-up. We're going to have a rugby festival. We're going to have fan zones. We're going to look to dress the city. We're going to have a trophy tour. So we very much want to embrace the whole of the country, the regions and the city, and of course all of the rugby clubs that there are around. So it's not just going to be a tournament. It's going to be more than a tournament.
In BBC Radio Leicester Sport, Essex are batting on day two of Leicestershire's county championship match at Chelmsford. There for us is John Shaw.
And play has just finished for the day, absolutely bang on time. 216 for four is the Essex total, so they're still 149 behind after Leicestershire were all out for 365, having contrived to lose their last six wickets for six runs. Mickleborough is 121 not out, Folkes is 25 not out. I think we can give credit to the Leicestershire bowling attack, who've stuck at it during these extremely hot conditions. A wicket apiece for Ireland, Sykes, Wyatt and Freckingham. 216 for four, and stumps have been drawn.
Thank you, John. And finally, in cycling, Chris Froome has been penalised 20 seconds for taking an illegal feed inside the final 5 kilometres of today's stage at the Tour de France, but he still increased his overall lead in the race to 4 minutes and 51 seconds. In the weather for Leicestershire and Rutland, staying dry and bright this evening, leading into another warm night. The temperature is only dropping to around 16 Celsius at 61 Fahrenheit. Tomorrow we're going to have more of the same, with highs of 29 Celsius, 84 Fahrenheit. BBC Radio Leicester News.
Travel news for Leicestershire.
BBC Radio Leicester.
Well, it's still busy on the M1 and M69 through Leicestershire. It is especially heavy going northbound on the M1 past the Leicester Forest East services and between Junction 23 for Loughborough and 24 East Midlands Airport, where there's reports of a lane blocked at 23A. In Leicester City, queues are starting to ease along Upperton Road and through the Southgate's underpass towards St Margaret's Way, but there are still long lines of traffic on Narborough Road outbound and on Saw Valley Way leading to Glen Hills Way. Finally, in Loughborough, recovery work after an accident on Royland Road at the Park Road Junction is causing delays as the road is partially blocked. You may also find that your Kinch bus will be diverted along Shelthorpe Road. Live from Area Traffic Control in Leicester, I'm Monica Winfield.
Ian Stringer.
BBC Radio Leicester Sports.
Just good evening, 5 minutes past six here on 104.9 FM Sport through until 7 o'clock. Just an update on the sport coming out the back of the news. Ian Bell has gone for England, of course, at the first day of the second Ashes test. This one at Lords, England, a short time ago, 271 for five. Ian Bell making 109 after a really rocky start for England. 18 for 1, Alistair Cook going down. 26 for 2, and then 28 for 2 when Kevin Peterson only managed to make 2. So a decent recovery for England. 274 now for 5 on day 1 of the second Ashes test, that being held at Lords. And as you heard from John Shaw, Essex 216 for 4 in response to last year's 365 in the County Championship. A report on that just after 6:30. Now, this is the usual spot for the boot room on a Thursday night. But, of course, at this time of the year, Lord Birchnell goes on his world tour. But he's back for one night only. He's back. He's tanned. And he's back to join us this evening. How have you summered, Birch? You look like you've summered pretty well.
I've got to say, yes, I'm just testing it with the humps here. Yeah. But I've got to say, you know, it's been a couple of months since I've last seen you, Strings. You don't look a day older than you did 2 months ago, actually. I think it was Watford, so I've been in hibernation since that day.
Yeah.
To this,
but, yeah,
we're here for a different reason. I've just
we
popped
are.
In tonight
because are,
it's
yes.
My man at the side of me here is.
Yep. We'll have a chat.
Have a chat with him.
Yeah, definitely. You're going to hear from Steve Humphreys in the next few moments, previewing what is going to be a massive event for Foxes fans listening, an opportunity to get along and see some legends. But the cause behind the event is considerably more important, of course, and we'll discuss that. Between 6:30 and 7, we'll focus on a bit of athletics and some news from within the rugby world as well that relates to all kind of sporting venues around Leicestershire and Rutland, with the Rugby World Cup just around the corner. 4 venues in Leicestershire look to have been earmarked as possible venues for host teams. Bertie, before we do move on to the Legends game against the Kasabian 11 and have a chat with Steve. You've seen the lads. They're back in at the moment. I know they're in Austria at the moment. They had the Leamington game last Friday. We're told that from Nigel that the pre-season testing's gone really, really well. How do they look?
Well, I've not seen anything of them, to be quite honest, you know, because I steer clear of them pre-season. You know, it's a horrible time of the year for footballers, pre-season, even ex-footballers. Puts the fear of God into you. Just think Bradgate Park. They don't do... Is it Big John? Or what is it?
Old John.
I always call it Big John.
Yeah.
But Old John, remember we used to go up and down there? They don't do that anymore, do they? You know, so they don't have a proper pre-season if you've never been up Bradgate Park. But, you know, it's lovely, isn't it?
Yeah.
Especially this weather.
Yeah. Well, they're in Austria and apparently it's just as hot.
All right.
Yes. Alan Birchnell joining us in the studio this evening along with Steve Humphrey. Steve, good evening.
Good evening.
Steve, many of you will be familiar with Steve's work, former Leicester City goalkeeper, a couple of spells at the club, Steve, I think you had a couple of goes with the Foxes, didn't you? But many will know Steve through not only his huge involvement in football in the community, but also the work, I recall vividly, with the Special Olympics in 2009 and a real trailblazer when it came to championing the 2009 Special Olympics held here in Leicester. Steve, you're here to discuss a coming event which involves the Leicester Legends. Now, we know that Leicester Legends do the rounds and Walshy gets the lads together and a cracking event. They face a Kasabian 11.
Yeah, Kasabian Select.
A Select 11on the 28th of
July,
this month.
At Quorn.
At Quorn. Before we get into the details of the event, the event, of course, is to raise money for your late son.
Absolutely.
And for those that may be unaware of the story, I know we covered it on Radio Leicester and it was also in the local newspaper. Would you mind just explaining kind of why a memorial has been set up for Joe?
Well, we've travelled quite a journey and we're still travelling and we'll travel. on from today, one day at a time, but back last October, our son Joseph, 14 years, went out for a jog, en route to trying for a charity event himself, which would have been this August, to run for his granddad, who sadly passed away 12 weeks before due to cancer, and he was going to run for his granddad at the Hope Cancer Charity event in London. En route, before he died, was another training event he was working towards, was the Ted Toff Mile at the Leicester Marathon, an event that I've obviously been heavily involved in bringing to the marathon over the last 2 years. Joe went out for a normal training run with his best friend in the village, and unknown to us, within 2 minutes from his home, he collapsed. And the world ended for us, the world ended for Joseph. And with no warning, no signs, no symptoms. At that point, Joseph, very, very much sports literate, healthy lifestyle, a club swimmer, loved his martial arts, been a member of a martial arts club in the city since he was six. But had a balanced lifestyle, and he was 6 foot three, and doing sport as it does, it makes young people like Joe, who was very much very shy, bring the confidence out of him and give him that self-worth and feel good about himself, like we know the power of sport does for the majority of people. So the many, very much the health benefits. And no signs, no symptoms, and click of a finger, knock on the door, and catapulted us into a different world of which we've sort of very much travelled. Hence, the day after, because we didn't get a reason why and what caused Joseph's tragedy and his death. It was only the next day, as a parent, as you would, well, what happened, why? And then I went on the computer and put in sudden cardiac death in young people, and then got a double whammy, because then we were hit. Oh, hello, what's this? And it's straight away the figure of number 14 came up, and young people between the ages of 14, 35, 12 a week are dropping to sudden cardiac issues, subtle heart diseases, one of which the umbrella term is that, which they pronounced Joseph died of, was sudden arrhythmic death syndrome.
And that was a heart problem. Was it a heart attack? I mean, how do we...
No, it's, there is a difference, and you know, between a cardiac arrest, which is a sudden, the electrics kick out, gone, drop, collapse, where a heart attack is very much a damage to a piece of the heart. And in all probability, after many weeks of waiting... It was then classified in all probability that it would have been SADS, which affects 12 young people a week, over 600 people a year, young people between the ages of 12 and 35 who can be susceptible to subtle heart diseases in young people, fit and healthy young people.
And, of course, lots of people listening right now, Steve, will be sports fans and try and liken what happened tragically to your son at such a young age to Fabrice Muamba and Marc Vivien Foe. Is it a similar thing?
We're in that basket. Joe, and I've said it on many times, was a Muamba of the streets. Small consolation, but he was the Muamba of the streets who didn't stand a chance, because to stand any chance of recovering from a sudden cardiac arrest when SAD strikes, you have to be there within 3 minutes. You have to have the skills to give CPR. You have to locate a defib within 8 minutes. If you can do both quality CPR and a defib, the chances of a Joe surviving increase up to 50%. Every minute without reduces it by 10. And hence, it was backs to the wall for him. And we don't know how long he was lying there. And if the person who found him... The last thing you are thinking at that moment in history was thinking a sudden cardiac arrest. What's a kid lying down prostrate on the floor? Why is he looking under a car? And then what happened from there, the person who will always be my hero, was the community hero who actually tried to apply CPR, had the courage, had the courage and had the conviction to actually apply good CPR, even though ultimately, you know, Joseph didn't pull through. And hence I came away from that thinking, well, this guy is my hero, but could I have done that? Could my neighbour have done that? Could Birch have done that? Could anybody have done that? Do we have the skills as a nation to save a life, to save a jaw, not just those who fall to sudden cardiac arrest, but the general population? And if you look at the facts, and obviously we've had 9 months of work coming from this, that as a nation we're very much in the lower league of those populations who have basic CPR skills. I think it runs, and the figures I've seen are 7%. In Scandinavian countries, it's 80%. So if you look at that, and hence, how do we reduce the incidence of SADs? Hence the birth of the trust, to say, look, you've taken, you know, the jewel in the crown in our lives, but what I don't want to see, and this was, I always remember those 21st, 24 hours, you've taken one prize, we've been hit with this on the computer, you're not, and I'll do everything I can to reduce it happening to any other. And that has then opened, exploded, the genie has come out of the bottle. And then we're looking into, are people aware of what SADS is, what these subtle heart diseases are, what symptoms to look out for. And if you've seen the literature, you've seen the website, you see the Facebook, Ian, it's all there, because obviously we've been galvanised, the local medical profession to take this on board since Joseph's tragedy. And hence, in terms of preventative, do we have the skills in our communities? Do we have the defibs, which I think in 10 years will be as common as a fire extinguisher? I really believe that. They'll be in our homes, they'll be in our cars. Sport, you know, we talk of sport. These cardiac, a number of these abnormalities are caused by exacerbation of the heart. You do sport, the heart has to work faster. So taking all those into consideration, the goalposts in our world of sport have shifted. Hence now we know a lot more than we did before Joe's death. We know about Mwamba, but we never as a nation worked out what caused the Mwamba, what we can learn as a society. And then that questions of the medic professionals, in sense of what information as parents do we need to know as the key stakeholder. And the responsibility for our children. Have we been given the right information and the symptoms to look out for? So all that comes into play, and sadly we haven't. So we have to address that, and hence we've built a trust with that common aim to save young heartbeats and reduce the incidence and make us a safer community and safer sport.
And I know the trust has got some incredible celebrity backing as well as medical professional backing, and we'll talk to Birchie in a moment, because of course there was incidents within Leicester City when Clark had that problem, and a defibrillator was needed in that instance. But Steve, and you don't have to at all, but if you wouldn't mind me asking a human question, have you coped, you and your family?
Well, cope is a difficult word to say. How do we exist? How do we get through it? Well, you know, we're all parents here.
Yes.
We've all had children, and the greatest moment in our lives is being present when our children are born. So if you take it from one end of the spectrum to the other, this is the parent's worst nightmare. You go to the darkest place on the planet. It's an insult. It's an assault on us, on humanity, on children, on our world, and we have to dig deep down into to the absolutely bottom pit to find a way to bounce. And how we cope differently because we're all different. But in terms of, you ask me, as Steve Humphries, I cope by channeling that darkness, that absolute nightmare scenario, and everything that's come with it and everything I've experienced. And channeling it, and I'm feeling like I'm on a steam train, on a steam engine, and you put the coal in to fuel the engine. And this is this. I always look at it as the trust train, and I put all of that into that to fuel where we need to go and drive this thing to change things. The danger is, it, you know, and people, we all move on. Life moves on at a very fast pace, Ian, and things move quickly, and there's lots of things. Great charities are born out of disasters, and sadly, this is a disaster up there on big scale. But we, you know, we have to take that dark and we have to channel it to ensure that we can do everything we can as a society. And we all have a stake in this. You know, this is not something where it's an accident. Joe crossed the road, a car came out, knocked him over. He wasn't looking what he was doing. Somebody was drink driving. This was not an accident. So what can we learn from this? And it's crazy that it's happened many times before. It's happening around the world. It's a global disease. And hence, it's one of them that's gone under the surface. It's gone under the surface. It's one of the darkest subjects on the planet. Nobody wants to talk about this. But there's an issue with that, because if you don't talk, people don't know, people can't learn, we can't address it. We can't afford to let this go. We have to constantly work at it with the partners, with the professionals, with the key stakeholders. We want to make Leicester and Leicestershire a safer place in terms of how we tackle SADS.
And that the voice of Steve Humphreys, former Leicester City goalkeeper, talking of the tragic passing of his son Joe just 9 months ago. Now, there's a reason why we're trying to heighten the awareness of the incident that took Joe's life and takes 12 lives per week. And if you stay tuned after the travel news, we'll talk about an event that not only on its own merit should get every single Leicester City fan listening to go along to and watch, because it's going to be an incredible event. But when you hear the backstory behind the kind of people that it will help and families it may help, then I think that the turnstiles will hopefully be very, very busy on the day. 23 minutes past six on a Thursday night. It's the slot with the City Boot Room, building up to the start of the season, but we're building up towards a massive game to help Joe Humphreys' fund and trust fund that we've just heard from Steve Humphreys about. The tragic circumstances, Bertie, first and foremost, before we run through the runners and riders, it was news, clearly, that to the Humphreys family will live with them forever and devastate the family for a long, long time. But the footballing community in Leicester City fraternity, you know, were deeply saddened by what happened. And I think there's a real collective behind wanting to help as best they can.
Well, they say that word family, and it's never been more appropriate than in Hump's case. You know, I remember the lad coming in, young lad here, Hump's, you know. He was under Wally, wasn't he?
The immovable. Time.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, Mark Wallington was... he did all right, Humph, you know. I used to rib him a bit, but, you know, he was a good keeper. And in saying that, he's brought along this evening, you know, a list that... I couldn't put this list together with all my years down at the City Ground, but this is a testament, not just to Joe, but to Humph himself, the character he is. Yeah. You know, you mentioned about Special Olympics. I co-hosted that evening, and I realised the work that this... When he puts his mind to something, he was the Special Olympics. With all due respect to the councillors and everybody else around the city, this man got that through. You know, trust me, I know how much he pushed it through. And when this tragedy happened, and he got his hat on, he got his head together as best he could in the most terrible circumstances, I knew that whatever he did... He would give it 100%, and that's why from day one we live in the same village. He's just round the corner from me. You know, we've had a few cups of tea, haven't we, over the last few months, mate? And this game's coming together.
It's going to be a cracker. It's going to be an absolute cracker. And it's again, you know, we talk about the Foxes Foundation a lot on this slot, about you, don't we? But defibrillators and finding or funding defibrillators and getting them first of all into public places within sport, within the community, is part of the foundation this season.
Well, it's ironical, really, Strings, that way before
Yeah.
You know, the tragedy with Joe, you know, part of the Fox's Foundation, which we're doing, and we're running alongside OMF's his foundation as well. It's not a competition.
No,
we're trying to do is just between the pair of us, get as many DFIBs into schools and sports centres as much as we can, you know, as quick as we can. And that takes funding. And this game is going to go a long way to helping schools and different organisations get DFIBs. And, you know, it speaks for itself.
The game is between a Leicester City Legends 11 and a Kasabian Select 11. Now, clearly, those of you who don't know Kasabian, they are Hollywood A-list band right now. They're killing it in America. They're superb in America. Leicester band. These are Leicester boys. These are Leicester City fans through and through.
Leicester City fans.
Absolutely.
Well,
we've had Tom Meehan in this very studio. Yeah. Now, the game's on the 28th of this month, so it's only 10 days away. It's Sunday the 28th, not this Sunday, the following Sunday, Leicester City, it's Legends 11 versus a Kasabian Select 11 at Quorn. Let's run through some of the Quorn Football Club. Let's run through, shall we, some of the players in this team.
Well, if I can, I'll go down and then it just... There's Tom Norton and Walshy, they're joint managers, really, you know. I mean, we don't know how long Walshy's going to be able to last out there. But,
no.
And then we've got Muzzy as skipper, you know, he's going to... Martin Johnson, who's I know is a patron of the...
Absolutely.
Of the...
Bert, you can't give too much away. You've got to be careful here.
Well, no, I'm going to give...
I've seen
Steve Humphreys, goalkeeper... along Carl Muddleton, goalkeeper. Now, I don't know which one I would choose.
Then
you go down, you're Matty Elliott, Taggart, Guppy, Joachim, Piper, Hebbard, Oates, Williams, Mockland.
You're giving
Ramsey.
Too many names out, Birchinal. Birchie.
It just goes
that
on
was a
and
bad
on.
Mistake,
that was just a little,
you've got to stop him.
A little tidbit.
You've got to stop him. What's going on? They're
listening.
It's the opposition is listening.
A little
it's
tidbit.
Fair to say.
Put the fear of God into Kasabian.
This is an exhibition game, clearly, Steve, but you're taking it very seriously as well.
You know, Chris Edwards, you know, he's the front man on this one. Chris Edwards. Bass guitarist, front man. It's his select with Jersey Bud, by the way.
Jersey.
He's co-manager, Jersey Bud.
How are you going to pick the first starting 11?
I'm not the gaffer, am I?
Yes, but...
Is Walshy? I mean, I haven't got that decision.
Do you think you're going to start in goal then?
Well, that's if selected. Wow. I mean,
I don't want to offer some inside information on Carl Muggleton, but I played in a Legends game with him a fortnight ago. Slightly dodgy right hamstring.
Never.
Oh dear.
So you know,
pressure's on then.
Place might be up for grabs.
But the one who's been keeping an eye on us is Rendell. No, well, there's the Kasabian select.
Is he playing for Kasabian?
Rendell Munro. You know a lot about what's happened to Rendell.
I do know an awful lot about Rendell. Local boxer, bin man boxer. He played at right back the other night. He played at right back, Birch.
Did he?
Yeah.
No.
Played at right back. Winger.
Saving himself.
Pacey, stay away from him. He's got a decent right hook if you get too close to him, as we all know.
He scored three goals, didn't he?
Yeah. The previous game he scored three.
And he said he nearly got a force, but did you take it away from him? He was claiming. I said Gary Lineker would not.
I nicked it right at the death. Yeah,
did you?
Four goals he was claiming. Yeah, but he says you took it away from him.
Yeah, well,
I called him Ronaldo.
I'm not going to argue with him. So the 28th of July, entry prices. Have we got entry prices for the day?
Minimum donation £3 per person under fives, three, enabling us for everybody.
£3, but if you want to put a little bit more...
Of course you can, of course you can bring a fiver in, a tenner in.
The kids are coming free, so if you've got half a dozen children, you know, an extra few quid won't go amiss, will it, Umph?
You said it, Bert.
You know, it's... have you got the mic situation sorted out?
We've sorted the mic for you, Bert.
You go, I mean,
not that he's getting all diva on us.
Well, no. You know...
Bert, mic is in good
pristine
hands.
Condition, is it?
Oh, he's got your AB on there.
Oh, okay, mate. Oh.
Stay tuned, because after the news, if you can hang around for just a couple of minutes after the news, gentlemen, I'd really like to speak to you, particularly Steve, clearly, on... prevention and kind of details where people listening right now might want some more information, because education is of course key, and there's a lot of people tuned in right now that will want some more information. Stay tuned between 6:30 and 7. You'll hear from Ned Eckersley, Leicestershire batsman, following his century yesterday. Don't forget Essex closing on 216 for 4. That in response to Leicestershire's 365 all out. Not a great morning for the Foxes. And on day one of the second test, England 283 for 7 a short time ago. Tim Bresnan not out on 5. He is currently, I think, in fact, just lost a wicket because I've no update right now. So Tim Bresnan still there on 5. Johnny Bairstow having gone on 67. It's 31 minutes past 6. 25 minutes of the programme remaining. In Stringer in the seat through until 7 o'clock. Alan Birchnell joining me in the studio. And Steve Humphreys, former Leicester City goalkeeper, but heavily involved in all sorts of sport in and around this patch, was telling us in the first half an hour of the programme the tragic story of the passing of his 14-year-old son, Joe. We've discussed the coming game, gentlemen. Lots of people now, Steve, will be listening and thinking where they can get more information, not only on the, you know, the trust that's been set up and the fundraising event and kind of pushing forward that you're doing incredibly well, but also knowledge as well and education. And there'll be worried parents out there right now thinking and sympathising and not wanting it to be them, which is what you said yourself in the first half hour. What advice would you give them right now? Where can they get more information?
Well, the website is the first place to head for. The Joe's website, www.jhmt.org.uk. On there, Ian, is information of SADS, what it is, the symptoms to look out for, understanding the difference between a cardiac arrest and a heart attack, the prevention side of it, the CPR, defibrillation, all of that information provided not by myself, but by the medical professionals, because we all have a stake in this. And going back to what Bert said earlier, you know, and respect him saying of, you know, what I'd done in terms of my roles in different parts of the city, you know, through its history. Really, it's about the collective will of many partners. The success of the Special Olympics was built on partnership, many people coming together as one community, hence the trust is the same, many parts coming together for the Sims, bringing those talents. And that is something that we've tried to do with the trust, is bring those talents together to address this, because that is the only way we can crack this. In Leicestershire, the UK, we cannot do it on our own. Hence, stakeholders, parents, most important, go to the website. It's all written down there in simple English. Cut the jargon, know the jargon, breaking it down to understand what are the symptoms, what do they need to look out for, and how this can be prevented. This isn't something we're going to cure overnight. No. It is not going to be cured in the next week. We know it's a life journey for us. It's a long journey in changing and shifting these goalposts, as we have to raise our game to address these issues that 12 young people a week are dying in the UK, 600 a year. We can reduce that. We are tasked to do that. But we can only do that together, and people involving everybody in this debate. And we know an area we haven't even touched is, you know, something close to my heart is screening athletes. Again, there's a division on that. Whether pro screen, anti screen, when to screen. You join a pro club, you're screened today. If I had joined Leicester, it would be screened. But what happens when the heart's fully developed and you're an athlete between those tender ages of 12 to 14 to 16? What choice do we have as parents?
Or you're not at a football club, you're at an athletics club or a swimming club that don't have the money that they might be able to screen academy products in football these
days.
Well,
we'll come back on this one. But in terms of, as a society, we as a nation have decided that, you know, that we put our resources into obesity, alcohol, drug abuse. And I understand the both sides of the argument, we cannot fund and screen. They say every one of our young children at 14. However, who makes that decision? Who makes that call? Are we given that choice? Now, they may say that the budgets aren't there for that, but were we involved in that? Is there another way of doing it? And hence, it's his International Olympic Committee policy that athletes are screened. Now, there is a big division on this. But screening can pick up arrhythmias, but screening is not foolproof, it's not 100%. That's what we have to work with today. Ultimately, the future will be about genetics is the future, no doubt about that, but those are tools we work with. So that is something in that the debate goes on with that, and I'm looking forward to that debate in the months and years ahead. But as I say, parents, go to the website.
jhmt.org.uk. Okay.
But also it's there, there's podcasts for GPs as well.
Okay.
So it's not just for the parents, it's for the medical profession. And, again, there's areas regarding CPR and how to get involved with the Trust and support the Trust and get behind the Trust through Facebook, which is all the news, all the information, educational news, and the campaign that we're building here to create a safer community and to save young heartbeats.
Thanks for coming in. Thanks for being so candid about the story and... thanks for arranging a cracking event that I'm going to go to. I'm going to pay to go and watch. And Bert, your final word from you. City fans listening right now, not got plans for Sunday the 28th. Should go along, shouldn't they?
Just one place to go. Come along, see your legends and help this man here. You know, you know, don't want any other families to go through what the Humphreys have been through.
No.
That's a given.
Thank you. Thanks for coming in. Alan Birchnell and Steve Humphreys joining us on BBC Radio Leicester. It's 18 minutes to 7.